Iguodala, and here it comes.
He got it! The Warriors have won on a game-winning shot by Andre Iguodala!
Live from the CG Technology Studio in the entertainment capital of the world.
A spit screen. Hoji will defend.
Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life!
It's the T.C. Martin Show. Time to get your daily prescription from the doctor.
Gasol says, hey, pass a big ticket.
T.C. Martin.
And here comes the Birdman. Flapping his wings and soaring for a sweet flush. When you're aerodynamically designed with that hairdo, you can do those kinds of things. With that sweet mohawk.
The doctor is now in.
Unos, dos, tres.
Olé.
Olé.
And a very good Thursday afternoon to you. T.C. Martin Show coming your way right here. Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM. Of course, streaming live at tcmartinshow.com. Follow us on Twitter at tcmartin21. Yes, today we're going to talk a little NBA playoffs. Huge game number 5 tonight. Golden State Warriors traveling to Houston to take on the Rockets. We'll see if the Rockets can win back-to-back games, if the Warriors can respond back. So looking forward to that. Be talking to the big 7-footer, Big Bill Cartwright. He will join us a little bit later on. And also, Las Vegas Aces. That's right, the home opener coming up Sunday, Mandalay Bay, 5:30. You got to get your tickets and be there and join us. The president and head coach, the former bad boy himself, who's really, I think the whole bad boy image is totally overrated. He's really a nice guy. Oh, he doesn't want me saying that. Watch out. Bill Laimbeer in the house here today in studio talking WNBA, the Las Vegas Aces, and who knows what else. Big Bill, thanks for being here, my partner.
Looking forward to it.
All right. So a lot to do, a lot to talk about with you today. Golden Knights, obviously, on a little rest, and we now know that the Golden Knights will be taking on the Washington Capitals game number 1 Monday. Where? T-Mobile Arena right here at home. So home ice advantage because the Capitals took care of business against the Tampa Bay Lightning last night. So Tampa Bay goes scoreless in games 6 and 7. Caps get the job done. So they'll head back to D.C. for a little bit, then head out to Vegas. Game number 1, 5 o'clock on Monday. So we'll talk about that today and, of course, tomorrow as well as we get ready for game number 1. But right now, we're going to start the show and talking a little Las Vegas Aces, WNBA, coming here to Las Vegas. And Bill Laimbeer is with us and a coach. So we've got new city for a lot of these players, yourself as well, new coach, new team, new everything here. So, and a lot of transition for everybody, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
So talk a little bit about the transition and what you've been going through for the past couple months.
Well, it's been a lot of work. We moved the whole franchise here. All we brought was the players. So we brought no infrastructure, no nothing. We had to go hire personnel in the front office. We had to go buy all the supplies. We had to figure out where we're going to practice. The arena had to be redone. You name it, they had to do everything. And MGM's done a wonderful job of preparing this whole show for the Sunday, and Sunday we kick it off and we'll see how it all looks.
All right, so how satisfied were you during the course of training camp and the makeup of the team? Because as you know, you've taken over a team that's relocated, and then you got some free agents, you got some new players, you got some new draftees. Your thoughts about training camp and the makeup of these Las Vegas Aces?
Well, we had a lot of work to do. They were last place for the last 3 years in San Antonio, so but there's some pieces they have. You know, they made some good draft picks. Some better than others, and in the same time, some underutilized. So it's been an assessment the entire training camp. We still had 2 players playing in Turkey. One of our stars is hurt, can't practice. Another one didn't show up because from an illness. So it's been a bit of a struggle. But at the same time, that's how you're able to evaluate talent. We got to look at a lot of people, a lot of players. Weeded some out. And finally, as of just today, we have our full roster all set for how we're going to move forward.
This is not necessarily new for you because you took over a Detroit Shock team, I believe is what, going back to 2003. And that 2002, they were the worst team in the WNBA, right? So a little reference maybe to look back on. Talk about that experience.
Well, it was kind of the same thing. They had some good pieces in place. They didn't know how to win. They were lost in the dark, so to speak. And, You know, I came in midseason, and they started 0-10. They came in then, and by the end of the season, I thought we were a decent basketball team. And the following year, we won the championship. So, but that's unusual, and I don't expect it to happen here. But at the same time, you know, it's a building, and it's a growing, and it's a learning, not only from myself as far as how I understand who they are, but also the players. I put them in different positions to succeed, challenge them a little bit more, and try to get the best out of their talent. And I think in watching some of the talent that we have, there's some hidden gems in there that I think are going to really surprise people.
All right. You really do enjoy this women's game, though, too, don't you?
Yeah, they play very hard. They're the best in the world at what they do. They listen very well. They want to be coached. They want to execute properly. You're going to have your occasional knucklehead every now and then, but for the most part, they're real quality people. They're all college graduates, and this is what they do for a living. They want to be professional basketball players, and they're a lot of fun to coach.
How much have you seen the women's game evolve over the last decade or 15 years or so?
Well, they're bigger, faster, stronger, just like the men are, I think. But the players are better. The proliferation of television in women's college basketball has made a name recognition a giant factor, also moving into the professional ranks, but also gives them something in, you know, when they're in college to work harder and to be recognized on TV. So it is it's a very, very difficult sport to break into the professional ranks in WNBA. There's not enough jobs. But I just think that they're very talented and they're fun to be around.
And you really think that it is the hardest job to have in all sports?
It is the hardest job to get in all sports. Mm-hmm. Only 144 jobs. The players are that good. We cut first-round picks all the time in our league, which is unheard of in any other league, in any other sport. So we probably need to expand at some point, but it is what it is right now. So these are the best of the best.
All right, Bill Laimbeer, he is the president of basketball operations with the Las Vegas Aces and the head coach as well. Season underway. You guys had two games out on the East Coast last weekend. You played Connecticut and Washington. Looks like we saw some improvement from just looking at the box scores and the highlights from game one to game two.
We got creamed in Connecticut. Yeah. I don't think we understood as a young basketball team, especially with some players that are no longer with us, that how hard they had to play and how good Connecticut was going to be. We played well in the first half. We were competitive, and we put our heads down and got blown out. That can't happen. I told them after game one, it has to be a 40-minute competition. And we competed very well against Washington. We had a chance to win the game. They made some big shots. We missed some free throws. We turned the ball over too many times. And I think it's a great learning experience for them, but also, you know, they competed. And that's what I asked for them. It's gonna be, we'll get the talent back on our ball club. But if we could compete for 40 minutes, I think we're going to be okay.
You must have some fire and brimstone pregame speech, because in both games you guys jumped out to an early lead. So well, it looks like they came out fired up, huh?
We play hard, you know, and we'll jump people at the start because of hardball play out of the chute. Then, you know, the depth has to come around, and we don't have the depth until our players come back. So we go to the bench, and it's a little bit of a struggle trying to score, trying to get some enthusiasm or some energy. But I think overall, I bet game 10, we're going to have a really good understanding of who this basketball team is.
Many fans here in Las Vegas have not seen a WNBA game either in person or on television. Talk a little bit about the differences from the men's game to the women's game and what fans expect to see by coming to see the Aces in a WNBA game for the very first time.
Well, the women's league is much more fundamental 5-on-5 basketball. The men have become 2-on-2, 1-on-1, a lot of pick and rolls. We're more pattern-oriented. We played solid team defense across the board. You know, the men can make a mistake and make a turnover, but get it right back with their athleticism. The women can't. They have to play very fundamental. What you're going to see from the Aces is a very hardworking bunch. We're going to play defense. I made it very clear from day one that defense is half the game, and we're going to play defense, the only way to win. And we're going to push the ball. We have very young players, very athletic players. So we're going to get up and down the floor. Whether that translates into more points, well, we'll have to wait and see. But you still have to finish the shots. But I think we're going to be exciting, and we're going to be fun to watch.
We've seen some rule changes in the WNBA over the last few years to make it more like the men's game in the NBA. Talk a little bit about that, and do you like those changes to mirror more of the NBA instead of the women's college game?
Most definitely, you follow the men's league. It's professional basketball. College is you know, 30-second clock. We canned a 30-second clock to go to 24 a bunch of years ago. There never used to be an 8-second backcourt rule. Now there is. Speed the game up. Use of restricted areas in the paint. Defensive 3 seconds. The whole package. It's we'll follow the men because we actually many times will set the tone for the men and what we do. We're the guinea pig. Because it's no harm, no foul in our league. So now we move to the men's league and they implement those rules over there. But I think overall, this is professional basketball. I don't care if it's played by women or by men, the rules should be the same.
Right. And there's a physical nature of the women's game as well, too. And for people that don't get a chance to watch it very much, or they tune in maybe in the Final Four of the women's game and some NBA game, WNBA games, you will see. I mean, these girls get out there and they battle. It can be very, very physical.
That's correct. Many years ago when I was with the Shock, we changed the game of basketball. Everybody says we're ruining it again, but no, the league wanted physical play. They wanted to showcase the women and how strong and how physical they are because it is a competition. And so, they said, go ahead, keep playing that way. And then every year it gets a little more physical. They'll legislate some here and there to get it out of it. But overall, the fittest and the strongest are going to win. And that's a fact of any sport.
There it is again. Bill Laimbeer ruining the game of basketball again, huh? What's up with
that? I don't know about ruining. I think I call it improvement.
Improvement, exactly. All right, Bill Laimbeer, join us here. We know when the NBA started, every WNBA team back in the day, when it started, 97, 98, they had an affiliation with an NBA team. And right now there's 12 current teams. Only 7 teams have an NBA affiliation. Is that a good thing, bad thing, or does it even matter?
Every sport evolves. Some teams just, their marketplace, they just don't, they want to focus on just exclusively their men. Some have arena problems. They got hockey teams and they got basketball teams. They want to put more concerts in there. So, to each his own. I think it'd be a hybrid for many years to come. I think San Francisco Warriors are going to have a WNBA team here shortly once their new arena is built. So it'll come and go on both sides. It's a matter of who's very passionate about our sport.
Let's get to know this roster a little bit. We've had Asia Wilson here on the program before, 6'5", college basketball player of the year, fantastic. I know she's been great for you in the first 2 games. Let's start with her and talk about what she brings, number 1 overall draft pick this year.
She's probably the best driving big in the game, both men or women. She's very fast, attacks hard, good quality 15 to 17-foot shot, shot blocker and rebounder. I mean, you can't ask for any more for that. A little light, she's not the overbearing presence. But her speed makes more than makes up for that one. I think she's a rookie. She's going to grow into leadership as time goes by. But I think she's a winner, and she knows it.
Compare her to Brittany Griner. A lot of fans may remember Brittany Griner, from Baylor and
different
everything.
Brittany Griner's 6'8", not 6'5", slow, plodding, strong, long arms, and just plays, a solid center position where Asia Wilson's a power forward.
Right, right. All right, so your 2 best players, and you mentioned this a little bit earlier, Kayla McBride, Kelsey Plum, haven't even suited up yet.
No, we had Plum on the court today for the first time. Okay. We'll get McBride on the court tomorrow.
There you go.
There we go.
Look at you smiling. I know
we need them.
So funny story, because they had overseas commitments, and they're playing in the Turkish League,
right,
and they're on separate teams, and they're playing against each other in the championship game,
yes,
right?
That's correct. I mean, series. Wish it was one game.
Oh,
but
wow.
It went 4 games. Plum's team won. Fenerbahce, they won in 4 games. Fortunately, didn't go 5. So, but they're back now and they're excited. They flew right here from. A lot of times, players will go home first. They flew right here to Las Vegas to make sure that they get a couple practices in before a home opener.
You gotta love Kayla McBride because she came from your alma mater, right?
Right. Notre Dame player.
There you go.
Quality player. 15 points a game for 4 years in a row in this league. Very consistent. I'm looking forward to having her on the court.
I saw Kelsey Plum in an old video. I think it was last year where she was throwing T-shirts into the arena.
I saw that,
you see that?
Yep.
You see that form? That left-handed form and everything? She almost got it up to the upper deck.
She wasn't on the court because she was hurt.
Yeah.
Hopefully she stays on the court this year and not throwing T-shirts in the stands.
Exactly. We can't have that. We got our good friend Jiggy. He'll do that.
That's right. We have our PR guy. He can throw stuff in the stands all day long.
I don't think he's got much of an arm, though, compared to Kelsey. What do you think?
Well, we have a mascot that we're going to unveil, coming up in the first game. And, we'll do the same stuff. We'll have cannons firing T-shirts in the stands and we'll put good fan experience.
All right. Talk about other players to watch on your roster.
Nia Coffey was a number 5 pick in the draft last year. Didn't play at all, hardly, for them last year. I think she's very talented. She'll start at small forward for us. Power player. Big for a small forward in our league. Very fast. Really runs the floor very well. Learning her perimeter shot, but she can attack the basket at will. Let's see who else. I think Tamara Young is our leading scorer at the moment. We got her as a free agent. She's going to probably come off the bench as a 2-3 player and bring energy. Very good, solid professional basketball player. 10 years in. knows her stuff, and is a good spot for her right now. I told her that today. And other than that, you know, with being Plum and McBride and Tamara Young and Asia Wilson, I think that's pretty much our core group. We'll see if anybody else steps up.
Do you like your roster in terms of stacking up to other teams? Because when you look at some of these players, you know, they were all great in college. They were fantastic players in college, some players of the year. And then you mentioned Mariah Jefferson, went to UConn, won four, you know, straight championships there. I know she's injured right now. But when you look at individually, there are some pretty big names on this roster.
Yeah, I like our roster going forward a lot. I think we have something special. Now, how long it takes for that to come together and for them to gel, and it's injuries and getting people on the floor and understanding each other, and Asia getting a little more experience and growing up a little bit as far as being a professional basketball player. But I think there's something special here across the board in this group. It's got to figure out how to put it together. Probably looking for one more piece someplace, but I think they have a chance. We'll see about this year, but I think next year in a building process and the year after that, I think they can compete for the championship.
So expectations could be higher.
I'm always looking forward to win a championship. I'm not into this just to have a job. I'm in it to win. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. So I think we have something special here. They're good kids. The best part is they're young, and they're going to grow together and learn each other. And as long as we can figure out the puzzle, then we'll be okay.
You coached in the NBA as well. A lot of people might not realize that as an assistant coach. And, of course, you played there for many years, and that's what so many fans remember you for that. Talk about the differences in coaching these women in the WNBA in comparison to coaching the men in the NBA.
Well, the job itself is more demanding in the men's side. It's a lot more months, a lot more games, a lot more intense, a lot more money is involved. So by nature, it flows through the intensity factor, the pressure. As far as the players are concerned, the women listen so much better than the guys. They want to be coached. The guys there, you know, they sit out games. They're tired. The women won't do that. The women are more big in the community. They're very out there in, you know, in the schools and doing community appearances where the guys are, they may do one, the women do 10. So those are pretty much the differences. You know, there's obviously physical athleticism factor between men and women. But the girls swear just as much as the guys do, and they compete just as hard.
Right. All right. And it's going to be a fantastic time. Sunday, it all starts 5:30 p.m. at Mandalay Bay. You got a chance to be on the court there at Mandalay Bay. What are your thoughts about the home court?
I think it looks fantastic. They've done a great job. The aesthetics of the court is phenomenal. They put all new seating in the arena, put a brand new Jumbotron in there. The back of the house and the locker rooms have all been redone and spruced up. It's going to be a really good show, I think. They're going to put on a really nice show, and it's going to be a very inviting environment for our product.
All right, excellent. What's the under-over on your first technical foul?
I probably should have got one already, but you know they're letting the teams mug Asia Wilson, so very shortly I'm going to start going off, and it's going to cost me a few bucks.
Bill, always a pleasure visiting with you. Looking forward to the season. It's a 34-game schedule, and the home opener is Sunday at 5:30 at Mandalay Bay. We'll start with a pregame show at 5 o'clock, 5:30 tip-off. Mandalay Bay, get your tickets at access.com, AXS.com, or you can go to the Las Vegas Aces website, and all the games will be heard, the home games, on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. So we're looking forward to a fantastic season. I've got a chance to get out there and see practices a little bit. You're working with the girls. It's fantastic. They definitely cling to you as well, too. So, no, they do. They respect you. I'm not saying that just because you're here, but and you know that. But I think it's going to be an exciting season, and we need to get fans out there to watch this and enjoy this. So you got a kind of a tough act to follow with this Vegas.
They're doing very well.
Isn't it great?
It's excitement, yeah. I mean, it's really turned this city on, and it's going to be a story for a long time.
Right. Excellent. All right. Great stuff, Bill. Look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right, there is Bill Laimbeer, the president and the head coach of the Las Vegas Aces. We got tickets to give away right now. We'll take the first four callers, okay, after Magnum's update. So give us a call at 876-1340. 876-1340. First four callers, you each get a pair of tickets to Sunday's game at the Mandalay Bay. We'll be back with more right here. T.C. Martin Show on Fox.
One, two, three, four. Get up. Get on up. Get up. On the scene, get on up like a sex machine. Get on up, get up, get on up.
All right, want to thank Bill Laimbeer for joining us. That's right, the old Detroit Piston bad boy leading the Las Vegas Aces to Sunday's home opener at the Mandalay Bay. Looking forward to that. And congratulations to our ticket winners. Looking forward to Sunday's home opener. All right, from the WNBA, we go to the NBA, and we go from one Bill to the other Bill, from one center to another center. This is ironic, isn't it?
Well, how many rings between the two Bills as well?
That's true.
That could be quite a few championship rings.
That is true. All right. But we'll see here. Who is the better Bill? Let's ask this guy. Who is the better Bill?
I wouldn't open this can of worms.
I just did. Big Bill Cartwright, the 7-footer. What do you got to say? All right, here comes a melancholy answer. Here comes one of these, you know, middle of the road answers. Let's go.
It's not middle of the road. It's for one thing, it's an interesting question, and two, it's an obvious answer. So I don't feel like I have to answer it because it's obvious.
Exactly. You'll be happy to know that I just told Lambeer as he exited the studio, I said, he goes, hey, tell Cartwright I said hello and good stuff. And I said, well, Bill said next time he comes to town, we're going out for scotch and cigars. And you know what he said? What do you think his answer was?
Of course.
He said, of course to the scotch, but no cigars for him.
Wow. Wow.
So he'll join us for scotch, but I think you're on your own when it comes to cigar. Even Chris said he's not touching the cigar.
No, I'm fine with the cigar. I may choke to death because I don't really know how to smoke, but, you know, no, I don't mind a good cigar. I've had a few every now and then.
Of course.
I have some friends who brought some stuff back from Cuba before it was okay to bring those back, and yeah, I guess I'm admitting to a crime here because I have smoked Cuban cigars before.
Well,
but
this guy's the king on the other line here. He's the king of the Cuban cigars, right?
Well, look, it doesn't have to be Cuban cigars. You know, cigars are like wine. You find the one that kind of fits you or the ones that kind of fit you with a good draw, and you rock and roll from there.
What is it, Romeo and Juliet, right? That's the brand?
If that's what you like.
See, I know my punch is another one.
But do you hear what he's saying? If that's what you like. In other words, you just came with the minor league version of the cigar.
No, because I smoked Cohiba as well. And unfortunately, that was also Fidel Castro's favorite brand.
Now, wait a second. That's not a minor league. Look, everybody doesn't have the same taste. And you've seen this, where somebody's offered you their wine that they love, and they've loved for years, and you drank it, and it tasted like iodine. Now, that's just people. People have different tastes.
It comes with iodine. Oh, jeez. Okay. I'm following you, I think.
Well, let's hope so. We're always trying to get you right.
So clear, because I have this question asked by several of our listeners. You are perfectly fine with sitting and having a scotch or just maybe even doing an interview with Lambeer, right? Because a lot of people think you guys are mortal enemies because you collided in the paint so much. So go ahead and set the record straight for our listeners.
Oh, look, for guys like Bill Lambeer and Rick Mahorn and those guys who played really aggressive back in the age where you had to be aggressive to play basketball. If we didn't play like that, we couldn't play. So that's just how we played. We're very, very aggressive. And it's not personal. You're not going to feel like, patting the guy in the back is trying to beat the Charlier all night. But you can't respect the guy, respect the career that he had and what he accomplished. And, I did an event with Rick Mahorn, good dude, very, very good dude. And all of that stuff happened in the, ending of the 90s. So let's just move along from that and look and see what we're trying to accomplish now. Bill Lambeer's done a great job coaching the WNBA. He's a champion. You got to give him credit. You got to give it to him.
So I got to ask you, Bill. Back in the day, you mentioned Rick Mahorn, right? Now, I grew up in New Jersey, and I know Rick Mahorn had a nightclub in Cherry Hill when he was playing for the Sixers. So what consequences would a guy have faced on your team if he shows up and he's in Rick Mahorn's nightclub the night before a game?
Yeah, I think it's fine. Because you know what? still, you got to live your life. You got to do what you're going to do. I mean, we're not Pat Riley. We don't hate our enemies. We just kind of go out and just whip their ass. So in that part, we're not too worried about it.
And the thing is, you spent most of your time guarding Dennis Rodman. People don't realize that. It wasn't Laimbeer. You were guarding Rodman, and then you guys became teammates later, right?
Yeah, well, I was actually on the team, came back when he was a player, I was a coach.
Right, right.
And he was terrific. You know, he wasn't the grandest practice guy in the world. But, you know, his approach to the game was very dogmatic every game. Came at it the same way, came really, really hard. For the most part, he had great things happen to him during the course of the game. Sometimes not so good as the kicking thing that happened in Minnesota. But for the most part, the guy was terrific.
All right. Bill Cartwright joined us. Let's talk a little bit about tonight's game, Warriors and the Rockets, game number 6 in Houston. Houston, man, they came back. I don't want to say they stole the game because they deserved a win, but the Warriors blew a double-digit lead in that fourth quarter, and now all of a sudden, you know, this series is tied, but let's remember, the Rockets have home court advantage, so it becomes now a best 2 out of 3, and 2 of those 3 games are going to be in Houston.
Well, there's only one word. There's only one word for tonight's game. The team that comes the most desperate. Houston was desperate. If Houston did not win that game at Golden State, their season's over. The Warriors must come desperate to win this game tonight. And, you know, let's face it, they made some tactical mistakes at the end of the game. Kevin Durant cannot pass that ball, period. Here, Curry must take the last shot. Or try to make something happen, and it just didn't happen. Where they were very smart, and I'm sure that Kevin Durant, if he had that ball again, he'd definitely try to make a play. So, you know, Houston, I didn't think Houston played particularly well. I thought Harden was not good. I thought they had some other guys step up. Paul Gordon, they stepped up. So it's just going to be very, very interesting to see what happened. And, you know, I mean, in this game, Dustin, I think what it used to play, like six, seven guys yeah, the course of the game.
They're taking the page out of Boston. That's what Boston's doing. They're going maybe 7 deep. That's it.
Yeah, then the Warriors were saying they were tired. Well, these guys only played like freaking 6 guys.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
Oh, we expect...
It's just going to be really interesting to see what kind of aggression each team comes out with and understanding that the winner of this game is probably going to win the series.
All right, pick a winner. Who's winning tonight's game 6?
I don't have a decision to jam. I think Golden State, it's their game to lose.
Right.
I think they have the best personnel. They've got the best shooters on the planet. There's no reason why they should lose this game tonight.
All right. Andre Iguodala, no. Klay Thompson, not 100%. They're both going to play tonight. But obviously, Iguodala, there's something got to be wrong here because he sat out game 5.
It doesn't matter. Andre Iguodala is not the determining factor of the Warriors winning.
Well, he's a huge
these
piece,
guys,
though.
Like
huge
this,
piece
right,
of that team.
These guys are the best scoring team on this planet. They've got to play their game. If they can't play their game, they're going to use the excuse that Andre Iguodala is injured. Wow. That's going to be your excuse. So you can use what you want. But to me, in my mind, it's the Warriors' game to lose.
All right, let's talk about Boston-Cleveland. Could tomorrow night be the end of the Cavalier season? They're back at home. We know Boston not good on the road. Their backs are against the wall. What's going to happen in game 6 tomorrow?
Well, I think that series is going to 7. You know, it was, you know, listening to those guys, they made no excuses at the end of the game. They just got manhandled. Boston gave out a lot more energy. They did shoot the ball better. But let's face it, these guys, they didn't do anything. They didn't get to the basket. They didn't take advantage of the mismatches for the most part. They did some, but not really. And Boston was just the aggressor of the game and just took it to them. So, give credit to Boston. They played terrific. I don't see them play much better than they played, but last night they were really freaking good. So Cleveland's going to have to bring it. It should be interesting, but I think it should go seven.
You see the fatigue in LeBron James last night, especially in the fourth quarter. No, there was a lot to that, but when you start breaking it down, it looked like he was pretty tired.
Don't give me that fatigue.
Come on, man. He looked tired, man. He looked tired. Come on.
You had all summer to rest. And if they don't break it, they're going to have all summer to rest.
He's got no one around him. So, obviously, he's expending way too much energy.
Look, you use whatever excuse you got.
It's not an excuse. That's a fact. I mean, he doesn't have anyone around him. He's dog tired. You've never seen him look like that. I'm just saying that's the fact, my friend. Come on. I'm not saying that's you or your teams, but with this Cleveland team, and you've said it yourself, they got no other scoring that they can count on besides him.
They've already beaten Boston, so don't tell me you can't do it.
Well, they can beat him at home. They can't beat him on the road.
It's going to come down to want to. If you want to put the effort out there and don't give me that crap about being tired, everybody's tired. You got to have to want to come out and play and do whatever you have to do to win a basketball game. They're capable. They've already beaten them. So what excuse are you going to use tonight? Somebody hurt? Somebody's tired? Somebody's missing shots? It doesn't matter.
I love it, man.
The team that has the most want to is the team that's going to win.
That's it, man. You got to strap it up. You got to want it. You got to leave it all on the floor. Then afterwards, take the shower, go to a nice place, and light up a cigar, right?
There you go. There you go. See, we're doing it. We're getting you there.
Oh, I've known that for a long time, so don't worry about that. So that's it. I got to make sure you have, you got all the right necessities, my friend. That's it. So.
I just want to make sure we get Chris in office so Chris can have a cigar with us.
Oh, he's down for that. I think so. Especially if you have a little food to go with it.
Yeah, but I like the scotch idea.
Yeah. All right, man. Hey, we'll look forward to the game tonight. And when this goes back to Golden State, you're going to be at game number 6 over there?
As of right now, I have no plans to be over there. I have been in many of those games, and I think that the people who haven't should have an opportunity. So,
well, maybe they won't let you back in the arena after that hat that you wore in game number 4. Or 3, that is. 3. You ever think about that? They might not let you in wearing that hat.
That was a pretty sweet hat, and I do have others. So,
hey, describe to Chris and our listeners what that hat was like, because I had some problems describing that.
It's just like a everyday type of a brim. I don't know how you describe it, but other than it's just extraordinarily nice.
See, I was hoping it was like something out of I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been a cool hat for you to wear, Bill.
Well, he didn't go that routine. He went
maybe a big plume coming out of the side.
No, you know where he went? He went with the hat that...
But TC described it Sean, like Jacques Cousteau.
Yeah, well, the hat that Sean Connery wore in Finding Forrester when he's riding the bicycle down in the Bronx in New York City. You know, that kind of little hat, that beret.
Raspberry beret?
Yeah, raspberry beret. It was raspberry, too, exactly. The Prince song. Wasn't it? It was like a dark red. Very nice.
It was a dark red. You know, see, that's the problem. You just get off track. I mean, it was a nice dark blue hat.
Blue.
Very distinct.
Okay. Well, my color on my TV is going out. I guess I don't know. All right, man, we got to roll. But hey, enjoy the rest of your day, and I know we'll talk to you later, my friend. I'm sure I'll get some text during the course of this game as well, too, saying how bad this basketball is, this three ball, this guard heavy basketball, lazy defense, right?
All right, hey, let's count the dribbles tonight. That's all we're
going to
do.
That's it. We're counting. We're counting dribbles. That's right. All right, take care, my friend. There it is. We're going to count the dribbles. All right. All right, we come back. We're going to visit with a very fine doctor, orthopedic surgeon, and one of the biggest sports doctors around, Dr. John Petrick. He at Las Vegas Pain Management Center. He's got a golf tournament coming this week, and we're going to talk about his involvement in the UFC. He is the official doctor of the UFC Ultimate Fighter television show on Fox. So he'll join us coming up next. All right, get on over to one of the fantastic CG Technology sportsbooks and get the mobile app, Betting Made Easy. Get on over to the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas, the Venetian Palazzo, the Hard Rock, the Tropicana, the Silverton, the Palms, the M Resort, all fantastic sportsbooks. Get the mobile app, Betting Made Easy. Bet on your NBA games, WNBA games, and, of course, your Stanley Cup Finals that start Monday. It's a CG Technology mobile app, Betting Made Easy. All right, joining us now is one of the renowned doctors in all of professional sports, and he is a Las Vegas resident and just all-around great guy from the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center, John Petrick. John, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic. Thanks for having me today.
Glad to have you finally in here.
Absolutely.
It's great. We've talked a couple different times, and you've got a big golf tournament that is happening on Saturday at one of my favorite courses, Siena.
That's
so
correct.
Tell our listeners all about this golf tournament.
Well, the golf tournament is a charity golf tournament, like you mentioned. It's a first annual or our inaugural event. We have golfers. We actually almost have a full event, but we'd love to have more people come out if they're interested in golfing. The charity events for people, athletes primarily, that have disabilities. They're injured in an automobile accident or car accident, but most of the athletes we have coming out will be people that were injured in an event or an accident. We do have some Down syndrome people, some autism, cerebral palsy, so it goes out to a lot of different, disabilities, the charity. And it's a fun event. It is at Siena. It's from 7 in the morning. We're having it kind of starting to about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We have some celebrities coming out. We believe Cody Garbrandt's going to come out and Forrest Griffin. We have Eric Grayson, who's out there as an NBA player. He's going to be out there supporting it. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow. All right. Let's talk a little bit about your involvement with the UFC, too. Now, those that watch the Ultimate Fighter series on Fox, you are the official television doctor, so to speak, right?
Yeah,
the on-air doctor,
that's
right?
That's right. I can actually say I play a doctor on TV.
You do.
Actually, I've been there for 12 years. A gentleman by the name of Frank Mir, who originally was a championship fighter, he was injured in a motorcycle accident. He came into the office with another fighter, and I said, hey, I could fix that. And he said, you know, nobody can fix this. And I said, well, can I get an opportunity to try? And lo and behold, I fixed him, and he said, I want you on the TV show with me. And that was when he was with Dan Henderson. So I went on the show, and I've been on there for 12 years. Wonderful opportunity. I have met thousands of professional fighters. It's a great experience. I'm kind of the guy that keeps on the show. So anytime they get an injury or they get a problem, they got to come see me, and then hopefully I can do my magic and keep them on the show. So that's my motto, no injuries. You leave better than you came, and that's kind of how we've been for the last 12 years.
Wow. So talk to us about some of those injuries that you actually saw and actually treated just from that television show alone.
Well, the injuries are countless because it is a fighting sport, so we do get a lot of injuries. But a lot of them are hyperextensions, elbows, knees, shoulder problems, a lot of shoulders, low back pain, neck pain from all the activities in which they're doing. We've had a few concussions. Concussions kind of in my wheelhouse. I'm very, very particular about that. I want to keep all my athletes safe. So we got to pay attention to that. And that's a big buzzword now, especially in pro sports, is concussion. So I have had a few of those. Nothing really crazy. You know, I think the UFC a lot of times gets a bad rap, to be honest with you, DC. They really, unlike boxing, we don't have a standing eight count. Unlike boxing, it's like pretty much when you're counted out, you're done. You're not going to get the opportunity to jump back up. So we have nothing really serious as far as injuries are concerned. More strains, sprains, bad elbows, bad shoulders, bad knees. But other than that, everything's good.
You know, we've been talking a lot about that on the show with the concussions and the NFL billion-dollar lawsuit. We had John Frankel on the show yesterday from HBO Real Sports, and they just updated their story there with that. It was amazing talking about those athletes that are still suffering and haven't gotten paid dime one, most of them. They have a billion-dollar lawsuit, as you probably know, and only about $183 million have been paid.
Yeah, and the thing about it, TC, is you're going to be more coming out of the woodwork, okay, because the research hasn't kind of caught up with the event. So we've known for years, clear into the 70s and 80s, that football was a dangerous sport, primarily because we're talking about it as a dangerous sport. But nobody really kind of knew what to expect 10, 15, 20 years from now. And we still don't know to this day what to expect of these poor guys and these people that are injured in these accidents. They're making changes to the rules or making changes to the concussion protocols, you know, especially with inside the NHL with Marc-Andre and his concussions and when they can return to the ice. And now they added in hockey, they added an extra piece. We're now out of Toronto or New York. They're actually, or I think it's Maryland, I believe it is. They're monitoring each of the games so that they can make kind of see, does anybody see a concussive protocol or something that needs to be addressed so they can pull those players from the ice. But this is something that's not going to go away. I'm sure these pro sports are doing everything that they can, but it really comes down to the actual athlete being aware that there was an injury, being aware. A lot of times these guys don't want to report it, and they go with unnoticed, and then later on they have bad effects that show up later on down the road.
Dr. John Petrick joined us. You've treated thousands of athletes. You want to share just a few names that you have dealt with and worked with in some of these types of injuries?
We'll go with some of the athletes, some of the bigger athletes that we work with. A lot of the WWE athletes like Brock Lesnar,
sure.
You know, but in the UFC, I pretty much treated them all, from Randy Couture to, you know, Johnny Hendricks, Chuck Liddell, Anderson Silva, you know, Machida. Actually, most recently, I just treated Daniel DC Cormier,
right,
and Miocek, who's a fireman out of Cleveland, Ohio. So we had an opportunity to work with them on the show. And we have a new show coming up. We should be filming pretty much sometime in June. We'll do another season. But you name it, as far as the UFC, I've treated them. I had a little bit of stint with the Dancing with the Stars earlier with Mario Lopez and Joey
Lawrence. But you
weren't
dancing yourself, though, right?
No, you see this body here, TC. There's no dancing over here,
buddy. You got some good footwork in the operating room. Come on now.
Yeah, that's right, buddy. For sure do. No dancing over here. Maybe a little late night, but nothing dancing for real.
Las Vegas Pain Relief Center, Dr. John Petrick. Again, talk about the golf tournament and raising some great funds and just for a great cause.
That's right. It's for Kismet, which is Keep It Simple, Make It Fun, at Siena Golf Course this weekend and Saturday the 26th. Starts around, we're asking everybody to be there around 6:30, kickoff between them. We have some wonderful prizes and gifts and all kinds of silent auction items and fun things. We got some fun things planned for the actual tournament too, so we know that it won't be boring. Live music, DJs, you name it. So we're going to be rocking out on the course.
And
so
you still got
fun.
A few spots open, so if people want to
that
come
is
on
correct.
Down
we do have a few
tickets.
Spots open. Yes, absolutely. Then go to kismif.com or kismif, it's K-I-S-M-I-F-L-V @.org. So kismiflv.org.
And it's Saturday at Siena Golf Club, and it stands for this. Keep it simple, make it fun, right?
That's it.
Outstanding. Great stuff, my friend.
Thank you.
We're going to have to get you back here on a regular basis.
Oh, man, I want to come back.
And start diving into all this stuff.
Absolutely. I can't wait. Please have me back.
You got it. All right. Dr. John Petrick from the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center. Appreciate it. Want to thank Bill Lambier for joining us today, Bill Cartwright, and of course, John joined us as well, too. Hopefully, all of you guys will be back in the very near future. I know you will. No doubt about it. And don't forget, tomorrow we're right back at it again. We'll be talking Golden Knights hockey. Game 1 coming up on Monday. We will not be on the air. It'll be Memorial Day, so we're going to have a 3-hour pregame show with Frank and Clayton and the guys, and that's going to be great from T-Mobile Arena as well. So looking forward to that. So, of course, tomorrow we'll preview game number 1 between the Capitals and the Golden Knights. Looking forward to all that. All right. If you miss any part of the show, you know where to go. Go to the website at tcmartinshow.com. Follow us on Twitter at tcmartin21. And, again, have yourself a great day, great night. NBA playoffs tonight, Warriors and the Rockets. We will reconvene right here tomorrow, 3 o'clock on Fox Sports Radio.